the cliche music selection from our technical producer, Christy Averro. Empire State of Mind. And I guess Kyrie Irving has the Empire State of Mind still deep in his mind, amongst other things, as he opts in for this coming season, $37 million. There were some rumors percolating that Kyrie was going to opt out, sign with the Lakers, and take a $30 million pay cut, but that is not the case. To discuss that and many things around the NBA, we welcome in James Herbert from CBS Sports. What's up, James?
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure as always, my man. So let me ask you, what was your level of surprise when you saw the Shams Charania tweet that Kyrie was indeed opting in for this season?
I think I was probably more surprised with all of the other tweets that happened earlier in the day, just about him, you know, being willing to consider the mid-level exception with, you know, with the idea that it was getting more likely that he might go to the Lakers. Like, to me, like, following this story the entire time, it always seemed like the most likely scenario was that Irving would return to the Nets on some kind of short-term deal, whether it meant just picking up this option and letting things play out, or whether it meant opting out and re-signing for, you know, like 2 or 3 years rather than the full five. Maybe if he sort of, quote-unquote, won the negotiation, he'd be able to get 4 out of them or be able to get some sort of unconventional contract where the Nets would have outs if he missed a certain number of games or what have you. But it always seemed like the two sides really needed each other. It just seemed like there was a lot of posturing going on both ends of this, right? Because the Nets want Kyrie Irving on their team. They just don't want to commit to him the full 5 years, like $250 million after what he kind of put the franchise through. And on Irving's end, it's like he said, you know, after the season, he did not want to leave Kevin Durant. He did not plan on going anywhere, but he knew the deal and had to try to get leverage, had to try to make it seem like he was going to leave because he did want the full 5 years. He did want the $250 million. So that part of it made sense. It landed in a place that made sense to me. It was just like the road we took to get there was very strange. Like, I did not anticipate that we'd be having serious discussions about Kyrie Irving playing for $6 million next year. Like, that is, that would have been an extremely unusual outcome, but it ends up being somewhat believable because, like, a lot of unusual stuff has happened with Kyrie Irving over the past few years.
Well, and that's what makes this so outrageous with everything that's happened over the last, 7 to 10 days in the Kyrie Irving situation. I think, to be honest with you, and maybe you can tell me if you feel differently, I think he tried to take a stance on his importance on his team and in the league, and probably recognized that maybe the way he feels about himself isn't the way everybody else in the NBA feels about him, and that's why he just decided to go back and take the $37.5 million and commit himself to Kevin Durant, which is what he originally did in the beginning. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, all of the reporting indicates, and I don't think this should be super surprising either, that there were not a bunch of teams lining up to give up a lot of assets to get in the Kyrie Irving business. There were not a lot of teams lining up to commit to him. Like, yes, Kyrie Irving, we will give you the most money in the most years that we are allowed to. Like, the Nets, if there were a situation where they could have traded him and gotten back a player of equal value or gotten back a combination of players and picks of equal value, like, I am sure they would have considered it. But if you just look at what he gives you on the court versus everything else, like, he probably has about the lowest trade value that you could imagine for somebody that talented. So I don't think it would have made a lot of sense if the Nets did have any way of bringing him back for him to have traded him for anything they could have gotten. Like, sure, the Lakers had interest in Kyrie Irving. Like, you show me a way they can get him on their team that does not involve Kyrie taking $6 million and that does not involve them sending, like, Russell Westbrook and a couple of firsts to the Nets. Like, it's not really possible the way that roster is constructed right now. And Brooklyn has no reason to do a trade like that, right? Okay. Like, that would make them significantly worse. That's just not going to be appealing. And I think Kyrie Irving thought that, you know, regardless of how he got there, there would be a team. Maybe there would be two teams. There would be options for him. There would be a way for him to say to the Nets, if you don't give me what I want, then I will be able to go here and get what I want from this place. But there did not, I mean, at least according to all the reporting, there has not been a team that has stepped up and said, we're going to clear the salary cap space necessary to go and max you out. And on the other side, there's not been a team that has stepped up and given the Nets an offer that would have made sense on their end. So that left Kyrie with this looking like the best way to go forward. And I should say, like, there is still a chance for Kyrie Irving to end up on another team at some point. And there's also still a chance for Kyrie Irving to extend with the Nets. Like, he has a full year before the start of the next offseason where they can offer him a contract extension and he can sign it, and they can also trade him wherever they want. He has no say in the matter as far as trades go at this point.
James Herbert is our guest from CBS Sports. Let's talk about the Nets as a whole. They have Kyrie. We believe Kyrie's coming back for at least one more year. Kevin Durant still on the roster, entering his year 16 season. And Ben Simmons is there, too. I mean, a lot of drama surrounding the Nets. Are you a believer in their roster construction?
Yes, with a caveat that we don't know exactly what the rest of the roster is going to look like. They don't have a ton of people under contract right now. They don't really have any big men under contract right now, aside from De'Ron Sharp, a rookie who didn't play all that much last year. So, you know, I want to see, like, does Patty Mills pick up his option? If he does, are he and Seth Curry both on the team next season? It would sort of surprise me if those two guys were both on the roster at the end of the season, but they're really good players, and we'll see what happens there. But I think the Nets need to find a way to be a little bit more balanced. They need to be a more athletic and versatile team than they were next year. Some of that will happen without them doing anything, just because they're going to get Ben Simmons, we assume. They're going to get a healthy Joe Harris, we assume, and automatically there. That's a lot more size you're adding to the equation. That's a couple of two-way players that you're adding to the equation. You just saw last year a super talented team that didn't have any sort of continuity and just had some, like, giant holes on the roster because two of their best four players were not available to them for either the entire season or significant parts of it, and it was not enough. But you still saw it, like, against that amazing Boston defense in the playoffs. You can go look at the numbers. Like, the Nets offense was, like, a lot better than some of the other teams that they played that finished with better regular season records than the Nets did. There's a lot of firepower there. I think if they can just have a more normal season, if they can be somewhat healthy, it's not like they need Kyrie to play all 82. It's not like they need KD to play all 82. But if they can just get away from all of this crazy drama and all of this uncertainty and just be a normal, very good basketball team, then yeah, like, we could be talking about them as contenders. I do believe in the top-end talent on the roster. I just kind of want to see how they fill it out.
James, the Phoenix Suns were the best team in the regular season. They were surprisingly bounced pretty early in the playoffs in the Western Conference, and they have DeAndre Ayton, former top pick in the NBA draft. Sounds like he's going to be on the move. Where do you think Ayton ends up? Because yesterday there was a lot of odds movement in Vegas with regards to his landing spot. I think it went from, like, 60-1 to 4-1 that he would end up on the Brooklyn Nets, and then Kyrie resigns. Yeah, it's weird. What do you make of the Ayton situation in Phoenix?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to end up in the Nets. I think that was kind of people getting ahead of themselves, anticipating Kyrie leaving and Kevin Durant asking for a trade, and then somehow there would be, like, you know, the Nets would end up with Ayton and Mikal Bridges and draft picks or what have you. Like, I think that was kind of what that was. It doesn't look like anything like that is happening anymore. I don't know exactly where he will land up. There aren't a ton of destinations that really make sense for Ayton, but I do think there will be a lot of interest in him. The Pistons were the ones everybody was talking about, you know, a few days ago, but coming out of the draft after they were able to, get Jalen Duren there, it seemed like that was sort of a cheaper solution to their center situation. You hear Atlanta, you hear Toronto, you hear Portland. These are teams that are not just coming up recently, but, like, for months in discussing potential destinations for DeAndre Ayton. You hear San Antonio is a team that, you know, actually has cap space and could want to add him to the roster. But you also hear, like, maybe the Spurs are looking at trading DeJounte Murray, and maybe the Spurs aren't that interested in winning next year. If they're going to, like, tank next season, why are they trying to get a proven player? Like, there's a lot of smoke going around right now. I think all in all, the situation, much like sort of the Kyrie thing, is like you hear all of these rumors, you hear all these different little bits of information that's like technically news, but the particulars of it have not changed that much with Ayton either, just like they didn't with Kyrie. The reality is the Suns cannot afford to lose him for nothing. The reality is they don't want to give him the max, so Ayton's going to be in a position where he's going to have to search out an offer. Maybe it means he signs an offer sheet, and then the Suns essentially have to match it and grit their teeth, even if they don't want to pay him that much, because it would just be disastrous for that organization as a championship contender to lose a player of his caliber, and then maybe down the line they end up trading him. But at least you don't just lose that salary spot. At least you don't just lose that player for nothing. You still have a chance to make a deal down the road. If he just goes and gets an offer, not actually signing an offer sheet, well, then there are some options, right? Like, you can work out a sign and trade involving DeAndre Ayton, where you send him somewhere else, you get back maybe a player that is not quite as good as Ayton, but costs less, and maybe there are draft picks involved. Maybe they get some more flexibility, and they can find kind of figure things out that way. I think the Suns' kind of angle on this entire thing has been, well, DeAndre wants to be the star. He wants to play a bigger role. Like, for us, like, the way our team is built, like, he has been able to play a very confined role and excel in it. And by the way, when he's been out, we've had other guys that have come in and played the center position, given us, like, you know, 70% of what Ayton did, and we've still just kept winning. I don't know how that comports with the way their season ended, which was obviously extremely disappointing for everybody involved, and DeAndre Ayton specifically. Like, I don't know how much that has to do with the situation that they're in, but it certainly seems like these two sides are not, like, planning for a long future together at the moment.
It really
does. I do think it can change. Like, I do think, once again, like, if he signs an offer sheet with another team, then Phoenix's hands are kind of tied at that point. You sort of do have to just bring it back and figure it out.
It'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out. James, you'll be all over it. We appreciate the time, my friend. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
All right, James Herbert from CBS Sports.